Welcome, Haunters. I'm your host, Ed Gannon, professional haunter, show development for Dark Hour Haunted House, and owner of Something Wicked Productions. In this episode of Something Wicked, we'll talk about haunt makeovers, refurbishing what you have, what to keep, what to trade, what to buy, and what to throw away. Let's think of several scenarios. Say you have run your attraction for a while as is, or maybe you have purchased a group of elements from another haunted house, or bought or traded an entire attraction. Maybe you're adding this to your existing one, or using it as a startup for the first time. In any scenario, it is the extremely rare occurrence where you can open a door and have the haunt ready to open. What makes haunters in general so great a group of people is so many of us are extremely creative, passionate, and care about our attractions, no matter how big or small they are. I don't care if you're an incredible theme park or you're doing it out of your garage. You love this stuff. I know I do. Some will painstakingly obsess over small details, while others obsess over big picture items. So it is not surprising some of us don't know where to start when refurbishing what we love, or where to add new elements, especially if they came from somewhere else. If you acquire one great piece you really like, this is a good place to start.
I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
I'm not a bunny rabbit.
And pat him and pet him and...
You're hurting me. Put me down, please.
Figure out where you would like guests to see it. Where would it fit in your show? Or would you like to showcase it and create a new area around it? How many of you have seen a piece you really like or admire and immediately start thinking of what kind of environment you would create around it? Entire rooms have been invented in haunts to accommodate one cool piece. Here, however, could be a small problem. Let me tell you a little story. I know of a haunt years ago that bought several animatronics at Transworld Halloween Show. Some were very cool and dynamic. However, these were purchased because they looked good at the trade show. No thought was given to how the animatronics would fit in the existing show's physical space or theme. The attraction was built around a haunted mansion theme. This means some haunt elements may not fit in very well, such as toxic waste mutants, for example. So, off the truck comes these animatronics, and at the end, a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex. Where the heck is he gonna go, I asked. The owner says, I don't know, just put it somewhere, it's cool. Many of you are rolling your eyes, I'm sure, as was I. The only place it made sense was the laboratory. So, in one corner, we made a contraption that pointed at the dinosaur as some time travel portal gun. This allowed us to light it with a slow spinning light, which didn't look half bad. Now came the other problem. When you design an attraction, the rooms and hallways your guests and actors will occupy need to take into account anything that will take up any of that space instead. If you have a giant dinosaur animatronic that lunges 4 feet out towards your guests, for example, you will need to make sure the room can handle routing guests around it. But such a large animatronic will also take up space the guests should not see. In this case, it needed 6 or 8 feet behind the wall it came out from. This attraction was well established by this point, and there simply was no room for such an enormous setup. Something would have to be removed to accommodate it. If this were integral to the storyline or the guest experience, it may have been worth it, but it was too obviously thrown into the mix. The guest's perception did not result in a big enough payoff. The T-Rex was sold after the next season, at a loss, I might add. Keep these things in mind when placing things in your show. Now, if your attraction does not have a strong theme, this might not even be an issue. There is also the sometimes simple but creative solution of retheming a prop, scene, or animatronic to better fit your show. While this requires little work, paint, and maybe costuming, depending on what you're giving as a makeover, it does ensure the items will better fit your show. The next thing to consider is how much time is too much time to take when modifying items or creating places to put them. Again, if you work on an October display all year long in your spare time, this may be perfect for you. Most of us, for some strange reason, usually get the opportunities for new things a little closer to showtime than we would like. What to keep, what to sell, or throw away. A general rule to use is, if I have not used it in 2 years, or even 1 year, I need to either make use of it or get rid of it.
You're out!
If I'm going to make use of it, do I need to buy parts to finish or create what I want? Like LEDs for a piece of lab equipment, for example? Or is it just making the time to finish it? Only you can determine how much time is too much time or how much money is too much for any specific piece. If it's something you might later be able to sell, this may help make up your mind. Investment pieces can be cool, and some may even make it into your home or shop year-round. Let's say, for example, I'm going to get rid of a saved piece. Maybe it's a found prop or one I got in a bundle along with items I really wanted. Or maybe it's been in storage for a while. Is it in a condition good enough to use? Can it be fixed? Is it even worth fixing? I found a suitcase not too long ago with some of the first masks I ever had as a kid. They were not stored correctly and had mask rot, that gooey latex on areas that are still sticky.
Why are my drippings with goo?
There unfortunately was no saving these, and I threw them away. There was my very first monster makeup book, however, and I gave that to my nephew. I had an old piece of lab equipment wired with old Christmas lights, which would have taken way too much time to fix, and would be easier and better to make a new one if I needed it. If it were worth something to someone else, I would have sold it or given it away, but instead I gave it the long walk to the trash can. I'm a collector, and I'm lucky enough to be able to fix or create a great deal of items using a number of skill sets. This, however, means that I hate to throw anything away because I can almost always find a use for any given item. I have had to get brutal with my saving criteria. If not, I would have no place to even stand for tubs of things I may never use, taking up all the space I need to live in just to have maybe something cool later on. It's kind of like you have to pick your battles, even if sometimes those battles are with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Are you really going to do something with this or not? Can someone else really do something with it or not? If you're going to sell or give away items or supplies, these days it's quite easy to do. If you have an item many could use, like a working refrigerator, let's say, put it out on the end of your driveway with a sign that simply says in big letters, "Free. Works great." Chances are it'll be gone before dinner time. Social media sites like Facebook all have garage sale groups. And there's always Craigslist as well to post items. One note, don't post anything unless you have a picture of it. Take it with your phone, put it up, it's simple. So many headaches and misunderstandings are avoided with a simple pic or two. And as always, when using sites like Craigslist, be careful, be safe. Never put your personal information in the initial post. Only do that after you've talked with someone who you think may be seriously interested. If you think an item might be worth some cash, there is always eBay and Amazon to sell your items. These are safer, and while they do take a little bit of the profit, they also offer a little protection for you and your buyers. Bottom line, use it or lose it. Make it or rake it. Get off the couch and build that damn thing, or get rid of it. Just start the project. Sometimes that's all the momentum you need. Believe me, at Dark Hour Haunted House here in Texas, running Something Wicked Productions, and all the other side projects I'm heavily involved in, I'm busy 12 to 16 hours a day sometimes. But if you really believe something is worth it, then it's worth a little more of your time. Speaking of time, we're out of it. So we'll wrap up this segment. And if you're in the Dallas, Texas area this October, Time Warlocks, called Chronomancers, are joining the Witches of Dark Hour Coven. Is this a good thing? Maybe not for you. Find out at darkhourhauntedhouse.com. In future episodes, we'll talk about more aspects of professional haunting, their methods, philosophies, how-tos, and so much more. Until next time, and there will be a next time, be safe. This is Wick Ed Gannon, www.somethingwickedproductions.com, saying, have a wicked day.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. and help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.